pressure the other side. Let the blood pressure monitor be the other side.
Well, anyway, Rabbi Isai, continuing our discussion about those things that should be mutter on Erev Shabbos, Shechal B'Yom Tov, or Yom Tov Shechal B'Erev Shabbos, better. When Yom Tov falls on Erev Shabbos on a Friday, things we're discussing various things which are not mamish melochus, but nevertheless they involve a hachona from Yom Tov to Shabbos. And we said that Rabbi Akiva Eger holds that because the Kedusha of Shabbos is greater than the Kedusha of Yom Tov, therefore these things should be mutter even without Erev Tavshilin. So even for someone who's not made an Erev Tavshilin. So one example, we discussed various examples. Here he brings down, again, the same idea. L'chein in Gelila Sefer Torah b'Yom Tov l'chein l'Shabbos l'Achrov. Now the Shabbos Chalamoid we line from Parshas Ki Siso. And if it's on Parshas Emor from the second day Yom Tov, is it Shorei Chesef, yeah? Then, yeah, and there's only one Sefer Torah, or they want a line particularly from that Sefer Torah, then the Gabba, if he's a good Gabba, would like to prepare the Sefer Torah in advance, so that you don't have to start mishing the Sefer Torah when the Kohen's standing there. But it's a hachona from Yom Tov to Shabbos.
What's that got anything to do with it? Shabbos having a greater Kedusha than Yom Tov? If you can't do anything on Yom Tov any other day, that's it.
No, let's say for instance, yeah, we said that min haTorah, you'd be allowed to do hachonos, you'd be allowed to do malochus from Yom Tov to Yom Tov and from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Right? The Chazal were worried; they made a gezeira that we were worried that you'll then do from Yom Tov to Chol. Right? So let's say he might. I'm giving a rochadik example. He might want to mish the Sefer Torah on. He's finished with it on Shorei Chesef on the second day Yom Tov. And he doesn't need it till the Shabbos after Yom Tov. Yeah, he doesn't need it until Pasha Shemini. So he's going to start mishing it now because I've got time. It's Chol HaMoed today, and I've got time on my hands, and therefore maybe I can prepare something now. So Chazal were worried that you'll prepare from Yom Tov to Chol, right? Like we said, we discussed about baking for the freezer, yeah, on Yom Tov because the lady's got time. She's got time on her hands all long afternoon, so she has a shluff, and then after she gets something, she says, "I've got time. I'll bake a couple of cakes." And put them in the freezer. I'll bake a couple of Pesach cakes and I'll put them in the freezer for something that's gluten-free, even after Yom Tov. Yeah? So therefore, Chazal made the Gezerah. So therefore, we've got a Gezerah that we don't want to do things in the Chatzchilah, but there's some things where, because the Kedusha of Shabbos is greater than the Kedusha of Yom Tov, we allow you to do achonos which are not malochas. We're not talking about cooking and baking. We're talking about rolling a Sefer Torah. We're talking about, the subject he brings here, is about washing dishes. Right, to wash the dishes from the meal on Friday afternoon, Friday lunchtime meal, I want to wash the dishes so that those dishes will be clean for Friday night. So that's our chona from Shabbos to Yom Tov. So somebody who's not made an Erev Tavshilin, right, we're going to be matter according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, because the Kedusha of Shabbos is greater than the Kedusha of Yom Tov, and the Melocha of Hadochas Kelim is not a Melocha Doraisa, and therefore it should be mutter even without an Erev Tavshilin.
Start to the Torahway North East London Friday, Tes Nissan, 27th of March, Reb Dudi Rosenberg Shlita, Parsha and Haggadah Torahs. This Torah is sponsored by Nishmas of Chaim Tzvi Ben Zev Alter's friend of Rosh, and Nishmas, our esteemed founder, years of Dov Ben, Shem Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz,
Right. Let's start with something to do with Shabbos Hagudah. Before we get into the Hagudah, there is a Heure from the Vilna Gaon. He says that we don't say Hagudah Shel Pesach on Shabbos Hagudah. He's got a good reason for it. Because we start with say Yuchel Merosh Chodesh. Maybe we should start saying the Hagudah from Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Leima Bayemahu. No, Pusik says the words Bayemahu. So maybe it means Bayemahu means Loyamatish Pushesh Matsimuchim Imura Munochim Lefonecho. It's a very strange phenomenon to sit Shabbos after the Chul with Chal on the table and whiskey for Mashke while you are saying Hagudah Shel Pesach. So therefore, you don't say aguda unless you have matzu imura menuchem lefonech. But there is a deeper insight to this idea, because the old English is for the parent to say, do as I say, don't do as I do. And if you want to be a mechanech for a child, you'll be a role model. A role model means that you will not do different to what you say. If you say Ba'avizeh and you say B'shul Sheyesh Matzu Emura and you've got Challah right in front of you, that is somewhat paradoxical. And consequently, the He'ur of the Buon has also got a deeper chinuch insight to it. There is, well, let's go into the Aguda, because in earlier years we've spoken about the Anishtanu and the Kashas. We remember a couple of things last week, which I left you with Kashas, and I think it's not such a bad idea to leave you with the Kashas.
You left it with Kashas. But I had a bigger Kashas. How does the child, at the beginning of the Seder, know how it's different, because he hasn't seen it yet?
Also mentioned by the Shem. It's a very good Kashas, but other teritzim to say, so there won't be time for this. So let's go straight to Baruch HaMokoyim and we'll take a jump. Baruch HaMokoyim, Baruch Hi Keneged Abu, Bunem Pibutoyim, which is the introduction to the famous four sons, Echad Chucham, Echad Rushu, Echad Tam, Echad Shirein Yedei Elisha. Notice that the word Echad is repeated time and time again, four times over Echad, to tell you that it's a burich, that there's a blessing here attached to each child, because each child is unique and deserves the classic chanoch lana al pi darkoi. And therefore the way to be mechanoch the tam and the shein yedei lishol is not necessarily in line with the chucham or the rusha. And to remember that there is a burich, that each child is a blessing, because you might think, what's the big deal of having a rusha at your table on Seder night? But you should count your lucky stars that he's still coming. And he's sitting at the table. Burechi. Leubt es der Eibischte, that the Rusha is still sitting at my Seder table. You know, there was a master with Reb Chaim Briske. Hagor Reb Chaim Halevi. And a maskil, Mishka maskil leduvit, a real one. A maskil came to him for a haskuma for his sefer. And Reb Chaim opened the book onto the first couple of pages, glanced at it, and peers in and he says to the author, you know, there's a grammatical mistake in the way you've presented this particular vote. So he said, a grammatical thing? He says, yeah, Alpitiktuk is das Dish ausgehalten. The maskil was enraged. And he says to him, you know, last week there was a yeshivish guy that came in to you and he requested askum on his cipher. You promptly provided askum. You had no issues with him whatsoever. And his cipher was riddled with grammatical errors from beginning to end. It didn't seem to bother you. So Chaim smiled, and he said, let me bring to your attention something in the Haguda Shel Paisach. You have a Ben Harusha, and the Ben Harusha says, Mu avoidu azay selchem, what is all this travail and work to you? And we say, Luchem v'loy loy. Now you say, oh, it's noticeable, you can pick up on the word Luchem. What is all this work to you? And from this one word, Luchem, we say, ho, es a koifer be'ike, ah, rushe, ah, schlechte. Then afterwards we say, and almost within the same breath, if you check up on the words of the chucham beforehand, he says, ashe tzivu Hashem lekaini eschem. And there he's also almost excluding himself, because he's saying, he commanded the Rebbein Shalom these statutes to you. They don't say to him, to you, but not to me. He says, why don't you follow on with the same principle? And there you see, it's interesting, nobody bats an eyelid with the Ben HaChucham. Says Reb Chaim to the maskil, therein lies your answer, my friend. The Rusha claims to be proficient in Dikduk, like you, the maskilim. They were very much into it. And therefore, when he says Luchem, he means it. Luchem, veloy loy. The Chochem who came in beforehand is the yeshivish guy that you spoke about. He asks questions. Aide sachikim, bamishputim. He wants to know. So when he says the word, Asher tzivu lekayni eschem, don't take him so literally because he doesn't know diktik so well. He's not so proficient in this particular line. So we don't catch him on the eschem. The maskul got the message. He went red in his face, got up and stormed out of the room. Just by he was out the door, so the Chaim Brisker said to the Gabba, Ruf him zurück, call him back. So the Gabba ran out, dragged the maskul back in again. So maskul was sure that the Rebbe has second thoughts, the Briskerov. He was filled with pride. Ah, now he's going to capitulate. So Chaim says to him, by the way, you know, since we're on the subject of the Haguda, let me tell you one more point. He said, I just understood as you left, one more insight. When you speak to the Rusha, then we say to him, Luchem veloy loy. He said, if you're speaking to somebody, you don't say veloy loy as an abstract, you say Luchem veloy lochu, not to you. He says, so why does the Baal Haguda suddenly say to him, not to him, to you, but not to him? He says, you know why? Because he got into a rage and he stormed out the door. So the Baal Haguda is speaking to the rest of the people who are there. And he says, oh, not him, he's gone. So now, let's speak about this on the less of a humorous angle. And it says there that the Abu Bunim Dibru Toiro. Keneged Abu Bunim Dibru Toiro is fascinating because you think about it, the Torah is an ability to connect with every type of child. If you walk into Osamech Yeshiva, or you walk into Eshat Torah in Yerushalayim, you can find a fellow who's a major in philosophy, and a fellow who's a professor in advanced mathematics, and is sitting down and they're learning B'chavris Shoyo Shanugach Esapuro, and 2026, what oxes, gore, cows have got to do with today's world when we speak about Cadillacs and Maseratis and Lexuses. What's the Shosh Ruga Chasapuro? But they have no problem. And the Torah connects with them, and they're busy with it, and they betrayed with the finger, and they labor the. So the Keneged Abu Bunim Dibru Torah, the Torah has an ability to connect with every one of those four sons. It doesn't make it, it reaches every single one of them. But it's worthwhile also reflecting on this word which is referring to the Rabbeinu Shalom's name. Because there it says, Burech Hamukoim, Burech Hi. And the Rabbeinu Shalom is mentioned in Hakude as Hakudesh Burech Hi, as Hashem, all sorts of names. And here by the Abu Burech, you have this word, Hamukoim. But there are another four places where Hamukoim is prevalent. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Yidbais, which says there that when you go to a sick man, then you wish him well, and you say, Hamukoim Yerachim Olecho, may the Rabbeinu Shalom have mercy upon you, Besuch Choyle Yisur. We also know that when goes Rachmud Tzlan to be Menachem Uvel somebody, we also use the same terminology. Hamukoim, Yenachem, Eschem, Besoch, Shah, Vailatzion, etc. Mondays and Thursdays, you also know. We speak about people who are in tribulations, difficulties, challenges, and we say, Achainikol Baisesuel, Oomdim Batsuru, Bashivyu. And what do we say? Hamukoim, Yerachem, Alayem, what should you do? Vyotziyem, Failu, Loiru, Mitzulu, etc., etc. And of course, here in Haguda, because Mukoim essentially connotes a place. And a sick man sometimes feels there is not a place in the world that he can put himself in because of his pains, his sorrows, and he feels, I don't even feel I've got a place in this world anymore. I'm so beset by my sickness and my sorrow. person who's lost a close one also is in an oscillating place, like in a vacuum. And he hasn't really got a place. So we say, Hamukoy Menachem Eschem. And of course, we think about the pilots over the skies of Iran, the soldiers who are fighting in this war, Netzusul, against the Hezbollah. Amukoy Mirachai Malayim Yotziyim Mitzurul Levuchu. And of course, the Ben Hurusha, who might be standing by the petrol station smoking a cigarette, and he hasn't got much of a place either. Because when he goes to shul, they look at him with the kelim and rules. He comes home, he doesn't feel comfortable either. So the Rebbein Shalem says, Hamukoy, all of these, Bamiyos Taplatz, under my wings, Tachas Kamfa Shechina, you should know, you will always find a place in my vicinity and under my protection, which explains this particular terminology in all these cases. I know that there was once in Bnei Brak, I don't know if the father was from there, but Rav Kolbwin, he came to Rav Steinman. And he told Rav Steinman, in relating to the Ben Harusha, that he had a son who visits his house regularly, stays there. He's got more tatters in his jeans than jeans. He's got more earrings in his ear than he's got place for anymore in the loop. His hair is so long that he has to get a quote by the barber. And this boy is coming into the house and permeating the house with music which rocks the whole house. And smoking things that he doesn't want other children to see. And it's affecting the whole family. And he wanted to know from Rav Steinman, you know, when the time comes that he should actually take this child and throw the child out of the house, essentially, and tell him that, you know, enough is enough. Rav Steinman looked at him, pondered and thought, and says, Wie viel Kinder hat er? How many other children he got? He says, I've got another 8. Seine gesunde Kinder, the healthy children? He says, yeah. And they, except for the influence of this one. Rav Steinman said to him, aha, and then all in the heim, they all, yeah. He says to him, I tell you, take the, all the other 8 children and take them out of the house and farm them out to different relatives, and they should go to different houses, and you keep this one son at home and do nothing else except love him and look after him. The man looks at the roof and can't conceptualize the answer. But essentially, Steinman was saying to him the same thing. The mukoim that this child should feel. He's got a place at home with unconditional love, with parents that love him, not for what he's achieved and for what he's done, but just for what he is. And without all the others there to compare him to the Chuchom and the Talmud, Shaini Shele Isha. He's there on his own, and you'll see that he'll turn the corner. This was the Masa with Rav Steinman. There was, of course, the Krechts of the Lubavitcher Rebbe who used to speak about the fifth son. And the fifth son was no longer there because he's conspicuously absent. He might be on the mountains in the Himalayas or somewhere in India with the Dalai Lama, and exploring life, but he's certainly not at the Seder. So the Babcher Rebbe says, Darf danken dem Eibishten for die vier, wie seinen Yodo. You should thank God for the ones which are there, because the fifth one is conspicuously absent. And then if you are ma'ayan in the way the Balaguda speaks about the two ways, quoting the Torah, that sometimes it's kish olcho bincho mucho lemoy, when your son is asking you questions. But there's another terminology in the Torah, and that's v'hoyu ki yoimri aleichem b'neichem. When children are telling you what they think of your religion, you're alarmingly late, my friend. Ki yoimri aleichem v'mezukte, when they're telling you, then you should perk up your ears to notice the distinction between somebody who is asking and somebody who is telling you. But then we've got the She'eni Yedelisha. She'eni Yedelisha is usually depicted on the Haguda with a little baby, with a dummy, and nicely tucked into bed. That's how it used to be in my times. But really, it's not really quite the way to discuss the She'eni Yedelisha or to describe him. And there's a reason for that. You know that in the world of psychology, the opposite of love is certainly not hate. People think that it is. So if you have a couple that come in and they say to you, you know, the intention, the feelings which are running so high, are ones of hatred, of dislike, of contempt, you know that there's something still really going on between them. There's a passion there. The only thing is that it's a vibrant in its fact that it spurned love. Because really, these are feelings of love that have been rejected and have been turned into hatred. And put back onto the correct lines, they will return to a place of not hate, but love. The worst scenario is one where you have indifference. How do they say in Hebrew? Adishut. I simply don't care one way or the other. I'm not interested. Lo mashaneh lo chpat li. I couldn't care. Then you're on to a difficult one. Because the opposite of love is indifference. And this epitomizes the She'eni Yedelisha. Because he's unmoved by the whole seed. He doesn't care. He's She'eni Yedelisha. You know, say them mit matzos, mit murak, geschäftobach. I'm not interested. Just let me go back to my telephone. And therefore, the Vilna Gaon stressed that the pusik that the Torah brings there for the She'eni Yedelisha is v'higadatu levincho b'yoyim ahi leimoy. V'higadatu levincho for the Balakoyra, remember that it's v'higadatu levincho zukev kuton. Zukev kuton means straighten up, support that little one. He might be small in mind, but give him the additional push that he needs in order to, he has a difficulty to connect at Pesachloy. Help him, open him, find within him the deep place where that Pintele Yid is there so that he can reconnect and form his bond with the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Which brings us to really significant words in this month, in this year. V'hi she'omdu la'voisayni v'luni sh'loi echod bilvad umadu la'ini l'chalasayni elu she'bchol be'vodoy ro'imdu me'la'ini l'chalasayni. Yesterday I was checking on this because there was a story which is referring to the president of Spain. 20 years ago, the name of José María Aznar, who was actually allowed an audience with none other than Ayatollah Ali Khomeini. And they met in Iran in 2001. Speaking about the father, Zechoino Lisruche, and not the son or the Holy Ghost, just the father, who's already... And he was invited, the president of Spain, to visit Iran, and he had an audience with the supreme leader. When he walked into the room, there are usually two seats there, and they lined up for conversation, but the atmosphere was tense. Khomeini was facing the window at the time. This is all described by the president. He was stirring a tea, and he's looking out the window, and he wasn't looking towards his guest who had just entered the room. Because of the cold atmosphere, the president decided to break the ice. And the president of Spain said to him, "What are the thoughts of the supreme leader of Iran this morning?" And Khomeini continued stirring his tea and looking out the window. After a moment, he points towards the window and he says to him, "One thing only: the destruction and the annihilation of the state of Israel. They will one day be condemned to go up in flames. 20 years ago. But since then, the Eibishter booked him a one-way ticket there first, so he got there ahead. But we're speaking in connection with Vehi She'omdu Lavesaini Veluni. When we say Vehi, we say, and that, She'omdu, that stood, Lavesaini Veluni, it stood for our forefathers and for us. What does the Vehi refer to? Let's speak about it, Al Pipsha. It could either be just the path beforehand, because we must remember that Agud is not some discombobulated line of a variety show. Every single one of these chalukim of the Agud is connected with the one before. Mishchilu oivdei avoyde zura and shem after chusei was bur shem after chusei the yisur preceded the Vehi She'omdu Lavesaini. And therefore, the Rabbein Shlulam made the promise to the Jewish nation, and he finished off the Gamas Agoya She'evoidu Donu Noichi, and they will serve them for 400 years, Va'acha Kein Yetzu B'chishkudu, but eventually they will be liberated. And then we continue Vehi She'omdu Lavesaini. So therefore, Vehi She'omdu Lavesaini Veluni means that this promise is what stood Lavesaini Veluni. That would be Mahalach number one. Number two would be no, shelo echod bilvad umadulaini lechalusaini, and that is the part which is she'omdulavusaini veluni. So therefore, the Vehi is referring to the fact that the Jewish people are persecuted. Since they're persecuted, they are turned into nirdofim, the victims. And we know the klal Elokim yevakesh es hanirdof. The Bein Shloim is always on the side of the persecuted. Therefore, Vehi She'omdu Lavesaini is the push pshat that because of that, the fact that we are persecuted, that She'omdu Lavesaini Veluni. So now we understand that we can go on to a little bit of Drush, which explains why we stand and we raise the glass of wine. So you've got the famous one from the Sat Maruf, who used to say that there's always Gezeiras, Gozri al Yaino Mishim Pitom Pitom Mishim Ben Asamit, etc. It is all one follow-up. And the Bein Shlulam gave Chachomim the understanding that you have to have distances. Because if you don't, then what happens is that there's intermarriage as a result of Pitom Yainom, and it eventually flows over into Ben Asam. You know, there was a Masa very, very quickly and briefly. A Yid was by the Belzeruv, the Shia LeBelzer, and he was an industrialist, he was a wealthy man, but he was called by the Pugots on Chalamoid Paisach that they should discuss a business deal. And he wasn't quite sure, wasn't comfortable with it, so he went to the Rebbe and he asked the Rebbe, should he go because it's Chalamoid? And so he said, is Hatuva Uvet? He says, yeah, certainly, it's a big business in question. He said, okay, guy, go there, Nemet Shramel, don't forget. Don't forget to take with your shram. Okay, the Rebbe says, amen. He went, he met the Puritz. The Puritz took him to an inn and they started to discuss business and they got heated, and then the industrialist that was there presenting the pros and cons of a particular commercial deal, and then the Puritz calls the waiter and puts down two glasses of beer right in front of them. As they're sitting, they're discussing and they're talking, so the Puritz says, okay, it's a done deal. Let's drink on it. Cheers. So he's about to go for the glass of beer, but he's a chassidish yid, so he puts on something on his head before he makes a brucha. So he looks down on the chair, he's waiting to put on his hat, and he realizes his shtramel is there. He says, ha, chobn, chalamoy, paisach. And then he takes the beer, he says, get rid of this. It's Passover today. So he understood why the Rebbe said to him, he should take his shtramel with for the trip. That's just in passing. But the Sat Maruf said that the wine is a gzaira, it helps create the distance. She'omdu Lavesaini Veluni, that stood for us, Vehi, holding the cup. She'le'echad Bilvat. The next one was Vehi that we're speaking about the wine, She'omdu Lavesaini Veluni, because wine shows you a iluye, a liele, b'chuse, that there is a brucha which is elevated. It used to be a simple grape, and it's a boire priu eitz. And this wine signifies how the Jewish people transcend and they go to a higher place. They're always up and above. and therefore the brucha becomes a boire priya gufe. And regretfully, the only way to make wine is by pulverizing it, knocking it, smashing it, squeezing it, squashing it. And that brings out this aliyah, this brings out the higher and more profound brucha. And the same way, klalisur, vehi shom dola besayne veluni, that because of the tzuras, you see a part of the Jew which comes out and shows you the refinement and the inner quality of the yid, which is only starts to shine through when he's knocked and pounded and pulverized, as we saw Rachmon Elslon in the most difficult periods of history of Klal Yisrael. Gedoylu asuras hatabas Yosef and the 49 Leviim and the 7 Leviyas, as the Gemur brings in Megillah. But then you've got, for Dr. Harris especially, the word miyudom, which we spoke about, how the Eibishter saves us through the enemy's hands. Enemy's hands means that they are actually the contributing factor to our Savior, like Moshe Rabbeinu was brought up in Pharaoh's house, like Esther, who was the Savior of Klal Yisrael and was married to Achashverosh, and she was actually the miyudom. And we spoke about the Wunder Rabbiner. There's no time for that, but he was actually escorted to Trieste, right, through a Gestapo member. But the Sfasemes is a very beautiful he'ura, Shalei Echad Bilvad, Uma Dulaini L'Chalusaini, which is so, so pertinent and real in this generation. And he says, going back to the Megillah again, Yeshnoi Am Echad Mephizo Im Choyrod Bainu Amen. Disparity and exclusiveness, so to speak, where everyone is in a line of his own, a direction of his own, and nobody else's way counts, it's my way or the highway. This period, this segregation, is which is at the root of the Ikvus of the Mashiach, said the Sfasemes, Sheloi Echad, the fact that we are not united as one, Bilvad, that is on its own the whole reason that Umad Ulaini Lechalosaini, that the Goyim have an ability to have a destructive power over us. But if it wouldn't be the Echot Bilvad, the Bilvad, that we are not Sheloi Echot, that we would be together as opposed to not being together, then the Geila would have been here a long time ago. One Ha'ura quick on Tzeil Mat, and then we'll finish off. It was 9 o'clock, I turned into a pumpkin because I was told that I've got to say something on the Seder as well, so we'll try to do that. Tzeil Mat, Ma Bikesh Luven, Adam Yasis Le'anke Vini, Sheparo Le'guza Elo Aschurim. There's many questions on this. One of them is that on the face of it, you are diminishing Paro's evil if you're saying you want to know he was the arch rogue. So Paro sort of fades away in the significance of his evil. So he says, no. So let's hold on to the first Heura and understand in which way Luvan Hu Arami wanted to destroy the entire nation. Ma bikesh Luvan Arami, because it says Luvan bikesh la'akol es hakol. Where do we see that Luvan was trying to destroy and decimate the Jewish nation in the entirety? So some say that it's referring to the journey at the end where he ran after him and he was determined to kill Yaakov and all his children. But the Altshach brings a very, very simple and sweet he'ura. Yaakov Avinu came to Luvan and he wanted a wife. He was looking to marry Rochel. This was the idea. If he were that, he worked 7 years, day, night, cold, heat. Came the day of the Chasna, notwithstanding all the attempts that Yaakov made to preclude this catastrophe. Luvan was one step ahead and he switched the two sisters. So Yaakov Avinu married Leah and he didn't marry Ruchel. Yaakov Avinu's firstborn was Reuven, because Leah gave birth even though his sister Ruchel remained in Akur. Now, if it would have been the other way around, and Ruchel would have been the designated wife as was supposed to be on the cards, the firstborn would have been Yosef, because that would have been Ruchel's first child and Yaakov's first child. So now the fact that Luvan Huarami went and he switched them, therefore Reuven was the first, Yosef was the contester, Yosef had the dreams, they all ganged up against him because, on the face of it, why are you claiming the rights of firstborn when really you are not? It's Reuven who is the firstborn. And therefore there was hatred, therefore there was animosity, and consequently Yosef was sold and the Jewish people went down to Mitzrayim. So Luvon, Bikesh, Lakoyes, Hakol is very simply by the fact that the switch of the two sisters caused Yaakov and his children to descend to Mitzrayim. That's the He'ora. Must finish with a story. Because and I'll just say that in Yerushalayim there was a special Yid, and Yid was called Reb Elie Roth. Reb Elie Roth never merited children. And if that wasn't sufficient, he also had a wife who was unfortunately mentally challenged. She was not well. Reb Elie Roth remained with this woman his entire life. But there was one Pesach night that one of his Hasidim, Maritzov, and his admirers davened long and thought, you know, on the way home to the state, I'm going to go by Reb Elie and bid him Gedyontov. And when he came into Reb Elie's house, the scene that met his eyes was shocking. The table of the Seder was overturned. The Matzah's mitzvah, which he'd worked so hard for to make them betachlus akashas, were drenched in some sort of combination of water, salt water and wine. The charoises formed a slippery base that the guest had to be careful that he didn't make a somersault. In the chair at the top of the table sat a very serene Reb Elie Roth. And he's smiling, notwithstanding the debris that his wife had left behind her, had left in a fit of rage. Obviously, something had happened to her, and she pulled the entire tablecloth, overturned the table, and this is what the consequence was. The guest felt uncomfortable. He felt awkward. What's he supposed to say? He knew Reb Elie's wife, and he knew now the scene that met him, and he said softly to the guest, "Yaki, we have both friends sitting at the magnificently bedecked tables with beautiful white tablecloths, gleaming silver and opulent tableware. There may be children," which he didn't have, "even grandchildren, all outfitted with matching and beautiful, elegant Yontov attire. All with the shiny, gegraselte pious, fresh for Yontov. And they're standing in unison and they're singing, Man, Ishtamo, Ma. And the father and the Zaydas are all looking on with Nachas and enjoying the beautiful spectacle of the Seder." Says Reb Elie to this young man, "Are they celebrating Cherus?" "They believe so. I'm telling you, someone who is not subservient to any of the above, not the tablecloths, not the fancy silver, and he remains tranquil, calm, and serene, even in the face of the hurricane that you can see in front of your eyes, and you know where it came from, that is an ability to feel cheiros. That means that the person can actually experience freedom from the Yitzhak. And that is the void of Pesach," he said. Void of Pesach is Chayoyim Chag HaMatzos HaZeh Zman Cheiruseinu. We are liberated from the constraints of the Yetzer Hara. If there's 1 minute, I'll just tell you a quick vote in the Parsha. If not, I can stop here. Essentially, very briefly, the saying, I'm saying, the Halten Han Tzav. Okay, Tzav is B'nai Yisroel V'mar Tolem. Yeah, and then he goes on to speak about the Oilu. And Rashi says there that Ein Tzav Elam Lushen Zirus, which means alacrity for the person to embrace mitzvahs with speed and extra speed, more than usual, because there's a mukam of chesura and kis. The oilu is, on the face of it, something which goes up in flames. Nothing is left for the owner. Doesn't even get, like Rabbi Bitzenspanner spoke about, a rib steak, a rib eye steak, fourth rib, fifth rib, spare ribs, nothing. The whole lot goes up in smoke. And therefore, you don't get anything out of it, so you need ziras for mukam shesh chesura and kis. Zutalik chedisharim. A person is created with various different organs. Each of them are also have a necessary cover. So therefore he has eyes and he doesn't want to see things which he shouldn't see. The Rebbein Shlom gave him eyelids that they can cover the eyes so he can close them and not to look where he's not supposed to. He's got ears. He can also have the aliyah, which is the lobe, which he doesn't want to hear Lushon Hara, he doesn't want to hear Nivul Peh, he doesn't want to hear Dvurim B'Tayinim. He has a mouth. The Rebbein Shlom created him also with a cover for that. Because he has lips so that he can seal them. He doesn't have to speak Lushon Hara. He doesn't have to speak Rechilus. He doesn't have to eat Machulus Hasirus if he doesn't want to. Because the Rebbein Shlom prepared him and, how to say, equipped him with the necessary covers. But there is, however, an organ in the middle of the head which is completely unprotected, and that is the mind. And the mind is one which can fleet, so that if you start Shemen Esra at the beginning, you can go by Atochainen to Paris, you can go to Madrid by Refuaini, and you can land up in California by Moedim, and by the time you finish the Sim Shulam, the Ruv will come over to you, say Shulam Aleichem, you make Goyim Benchen. But that means that the mind really is free, one cannot really control it. It's very difficult to think of machshuvas. Machshuvas zuros fleet in, fleet out, and what's he supposed to do? And the oilo is mechapa or machshuva. The oilo is machshuvas zuros. Zukte chadisharim, ein sav elu lushen zeros. This is to create the alacrity and the, to invigorate this particular mitzvah of oilu. Sheyesh b'chesur and kis, because this one is one that has got to do with machshuva, and machshuva has got to do with the mind, and the mind has not got a cover, an ability, and that's why you need a particular zeros by the egg. Shabbos, zeros and kushim, freilich miyom. I have to go somewhere.